97.5 Glory FM, your family radio station in North Georgia. Tom, once again, for Community Focus, our public affairs program. I have a special guest on the phone with me today. It is from the Georgia General Assembly. He's the majority leader for the House of Representatives. Make sure I get his name correct. And if I butcher it, I apologize. It's Jason Anavatarte. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah, that's correct. You got it right on the money.
I'm great, glad to hear that. I was talking to our friend, Representative Emory Donahue, and so okay, make sure I got it close to that standpoint. Thanks for being with us here this morning. I appreciate you wanting to talk to our listeners here in North Georgia about what's going on in the Georgia General Assembly. It's always talking about, you know, we have 40 days and 40 nights that we say when the Georgia General Assembly takes place. But this is a full-time job year-round, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And first, I just want to say thank you for having me on. Emory's a great friend, and so is your state senator, Drew Echols. He's a hardworking senator for our Republican caucus, and proud of his family and also former senator, his bride, Shelley, what they've contributed to the state. But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting session upcoming. For your listeners that don't know me, I live in Dallas, Georgia, married, have three daughters, born and raised in Georgia. And, you know, I think there's a lot of issues that people are paying attention to. From taxes to the economy, what's going on the global stage, and also this government shutdown, you know, in terms of the impacts that people may be facing. And then obviously, you know, we have a 2026 election coming up that could change a lot of things in the state.
Let's start things off about the government shutdown. How does that affect people here locally in the state of Georgia, and what can the state representatives do about it?
Well, I think right now, I mean, we're voicing our opinions. A group of us was in Washington, D.C., meeting with the White House. And I know a smaller group of legislators actually sat down with Senator John Ossoff, to encourage him and Senator Warnock to reopen the government. They have voted against, SNAP benefits 13 times. I think Majority Leader John Thune from South Dakota, made that very clear on the U.S. Senate floor yesterday. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of Democrats show up to the Capitol that want to get on Governor Kemp and others. But literally, they're the ones that are, you know, stopping progress. They're stopping, you know, not just, you know, SNAP benefits and food, but, you know, military veterans, you know, across the country and overseas from being paid and other, you know, aspects of our federal government. So right now, I just highly encourage your listeners to, you know, call Warnock and Ossoff and tell them to show up at the U.S. Capitol and get to work.
So I heard this morning that one of the reports, it amazed me, sir, is that over 10% of the people in Georgia receive SNAP benefits.
That's correct. Yeah, there's a lot of folks, low and income families, that rely on those SNAP benefits to purchase food. I know we're doing everything we can to, you know, try and encourage families, if the shutdown continues into the weekend and past November 1st, to, you know, work with our food banks and churches, which, you know, churches are really the ones that are on the front lines of this in many communities like mine and yours. but we also know that food banks, and y'all have a fantastic one up there in Hall County in North Georgia.
Yes, we do.
You know, they've experienced a lot of food shortages, you know, from supporting other counties with Hurricane Helene or just kind of the influx they've seen from the senior population and other aspects of North Georgia. So, you know, this has bigger consequences, and I think, you know, John Ossoff needs to think about that every time he votes against SNAP benefits on the U.S. Senate floor.
There's a fine line at times, isn't there, sir, about what the federal government is able to do and what the Georgia General Assembly is able to do here in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. I mean, Mike, I mean, we see, you know, we balance our budget. We lower taxes. You know, we're not going to shut down our government. The federal government, this is why they're unpopular. This is why so many Georgia citizens, you know, these politicians go to Washington and they just sit up there and they play these games, not understanding that it impacts, you know, real life, day-to-day, blue-collar Americans. And if we're going to continue to see that happen, you know, especially by the Democrats who want to take over the state next year, I think they're going to have a rude awakening, because, you know, the antics that we've seen are not helping people put food on the table. They're not helping them get to work. They're not addressing, you know, the inflation issue that started under President Biden and the excessive spending that has kind of led to, I think, a lot of the things that President Trump and Governor Kemp and our Georgia Senate are trying to address. So, you know, it has a bigger ramifications. What I worry about is that if we continue kind of in this quagmire where Democrats can't partner with Republicans to get the job done, this could have a generational impact. And that's what me and my colleagues like Drew Eccles are trying to make sure it does not happen in Georgia.
This morning we're talking with Jason Anvitardi, who is the majority leader in the Georgia General Assembly. Tell everybody about what you do as majority leader. How close are you to Governor Kemp?
Yeah, so I'm actually probably one of the younger in seniority senators. I've only been in the Senate for just over 4 years. I was elected in 2020 and sworn in 2021. Prior to being majority leader, I served as our caucus chairman. I have served on my local city council in the city of Doraville, where I grew up back when I was 25 years old, and then more recently on our school board out here in Paulding County, where I grew up, where I live now. Not grew up, I grew up in Doraville. But my job is to help set the agenda when it comes to policy, the flow of legislation, working with Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones, and our soon-to-be President Pro Tem Senator Larry Walker, as it relates to, the things that we take up. You know, one of the big issues, I'm sure it's being talked about in Hall County, Gainesville, and other areas, is property taxes. I know that's going to be an issue that, we're already talking about and trying to figure out, how do we partner potentially with the House and Governor Kemp to do that. There's kind of the, three-legged stool. You got the governor, the House, and the Senate. We're all co-equals in terms of, our position, even though the governor runs the executive branch. But that's why I encourage our citizens to call, show up at the Capitol, and engage their elected officials, because we have just as much of a say as the governor, as does maybe Emery Donahue, or even his colleagues. So I think this is why it's important right now that we get more people engaged in this process, not for, these short-term wins, but to talk about bold, innovative things that we can do as Georgians and as majority leader. That's my goal as we look to the future. A lot of politicians, they go down there. They want to hear themselves on the radio. They want to hear themselves on TV. There's some that just, they don't want to really work. And I think right now, the expectation is that, we don't go down there for a paycheck. We go down there to basically serve, just like, it's like a ministry, serving in your church or anywhere else. And I think so long as you go down there with those intentions, the people of Georgia are going to win. And I think that's how I carry myself, because I know at the end of the day, politics is not, your entire life. I have a family, I have kids. I like to mountain bike and paddleboard and watch my kids play basketball and lacrosse and cheer. That's being with my kids, that's what's important, but we got to look through the lens of this next generation and our own families.
One of our good friends here locally is Representative Lee Hawkins. He was a former senator, and then he went to the House. Tell me about how closely do you work with the House of Representatives?
Yeah, the House is critical, and Lee's a great guy. We inherit a lot of House members in the Senate, and then we have to train them up. And, it's been a while since we've had a senator go to House to train them, because sometimes they do need a lot of training. And I say that in, jokingly, but no, it's critical. I mean, we have, don't get me wrong. Like, we have our battles. I think we sometimes disagree on the approach. I represent in my Senate district, like all senators, about almost 200,000 people in our district. A House member is probably somewhere between 60 and 75,000 people. The people we're speaking for, it's much different. I have multi-counties, and some of these House members, they may have multi-counties, but sometimes it's just one.
Sure.
But we have to be collaborative if we're going to win. I always believe, I've coached, youth basketball, I've coached my daughter's basketball team. We either win together or lose together. Communities will win together and lose together. And I think even as we see this dynamic, you're in Hall County, I'm in Paulding County, a lot of similar dynamics in terms of population. We're kind of an exurb, right, of this growing metro Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
You have, ag commodities that are in Gainesville. We still have ag, land and commodities west of Dallas. And if rural Georgia is not supported, Georgia fails. If the traffic and other issues around water and other issues are not addressed in Atlanta, rural Georgia fails. So we have to figure out, how do we build one state collaboratively? And that means everybody's got to work together. But I do fear that if Democrats take control in 2026, all the good work of being the number one place to do business, quality of life, low taxes, the things that everyday Georgians want that go drive a truck. My dad worked in the trucking industry his entire life, that are working at the poultry factory or anything else, will go away overnight. We're seeing that in a lot of these, you know, northern states, western states, and big cities. And I think Georgia is special, and we could be much different and continue to lead America, you know, with where we're going into the future.
We're talking again with Jason Anavitardi, who is the Senate Majority Leader for the Georgia General Assembly here on Community Focus, our public affairs program on 97.5 Glory FM. I was born and raised here in Hall County, and I've seen it's just growing, as you say, Metro Atlanta trying to move into areas like ours, and things are just totally different compared to how we are here. And culture is different across the state of Georgia. It's great to have, you know, it would say one mind and one accord. Hopefully we can do that from that standpoint. When looking ahead to some of the key things happening in 2026, you know, recently we have a Senate committee that met here about one of Burt Jones' ideas about looking at eliminating the state income tax. Let our listeners know about that and how important that issue can be starting in 2026.
Yeah, so I think taxes is important. So just so your viewers know, my dad was born and raised in Puerto Rico. You know, there's a large Latino community in Hall County.
Oh, sure.
You know that. Others know that. Hispanics in Georgia and across the country are voting Republican. The reason they're voting Republican is because they want less government. Many of them attend church. Faith is a huge part of their lives, whether they're Baptist or Catholic or otherwise. And many of them are entrepreneurs. And the reason they become entrepreneurs and move to places like Georgia, Miami, Texas, is because of low taxes, because of Republicans. You know, I think the income tax question, you know, how do we eliminate the income tax? I think it's TBD. I don't know how we get there yet. I think the study committee is going through this process to really figure that out. But one of the things we got to be mindful of is that we do not create an unintended consequence that the average citizen that's in Gainesville, Georgia, is going to go pay somewhere else while we eliminate it over here. And I think that's what a lot of people are fearful for. I think feel fearful of. I think, you know, the big thing that people want to talk about is property taxes, because that's a bill that's coming. You know, in probably some cases, it's probably less predictable than your income taxes that people pay. But it's the biggest bill that, you know, an average family trying to put their kids through high school or college or community college are paying right now. And so we got to have a balance, but we got to do what the citizens want and what they expect to address these burdens. Because a lot of these burdens, they're being created by this global dynamic that we're seeing from pressures from China and Venezuela and other places. And I think the tax reform is leader F. Trachin, the majority leader in the House, and I talked about yesterday with a group of manufacturers, is going to be critical. Our caucus theme this year is going to be reigniting the American dream. And I think a part of that American dream that Ronald Reagan talked about, you know, I'm a kid of the Reagan years, you know, is being able to afford and buy your home and save money and build equity, you know, to hopefully hand that kid off, you know, to my son or daughter when I pass away. I think that is not the case with the way it is in this economy for families today, because we got rental home neighborhoods being built and people are being encouraged to rent. And I know people need a roof over their head. You know, I work with low-income families every single day to put a roof over their head. But at the same time, there's something powerful about owning your own property and owning your own dream and waking up in the morning being invigorated that America's giving that back to you, or the state of Georgia's giving that back to you. We got to get back to that place, because if we don't, our value system is going to continue to erode. We're going to continue to pay high property taxes. A lot of local politicians are the ones that are setting in place because they're worried about, you know, we need more money for this and more money for that. Well, the government can't do everything. And so I think we're at this crossroads where we really have to ask ourselves the hard question, is that, are we going to go down this pathway of reuniting this American dream that every Georgian, no matter your income, what you look like, where you're from, they deserve? Or are we going to go down this pathway of more government, more government, more government, and start looking like other countries that are pushing their citizens away to come to America. So
when we talk about the income tax, I was talking with former Governor Nathan Deal years ago, and his concern was if we eliminate the state income tax and go to a sales tax, that small rural communities, counties in the state of Georgia won't be able to survive and because of how you might distribute the money. Can you tell me about what your ideas about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think so in Paulding County, we're one of the low wealthiest counties in the state. So we have huge population, almost 200,000 people live in Paulding County now. but we have almost zero industry, and we're working on that. And so the tax base is basically, you know, the big employers are school districts, government, you know, kind of your big box retailers, and there's some other, you know, medium-sized companies that work here and live here. And so from an income tax perspective, you know, it's not going to really move the needle. I hate to say that, and some of my colleagues, you know, probably be upset at me saying that, but it's not going to move the needle in Paulding County. To the extent maybe it would like in Gainesville, where there's industry on every street corner. You know, it's just a different economic environment that I think Governor Deal is referring to. And you also got to think about too, that if you live in South Georgia, if you live in Sumter County or you live in Tift County or, you know, anywhere south of Macon, you know, and you just went through Hurricane Helene, and you're also still putting your farm back together. Many of those families file for bankruptcy. You know, it's pretty hard times down there. But if we're not finding ways to truly, you know, reignite the economy, you know, the government, you know, we can eliminate income taxes and do those things. But those, in the big picture, Mike, like those are, I hate to say it, but I feel like those are small things. And unless we do something significant, that's going to put an infusion of investment or something back into these rural counties in order for them to grow, you know, through the free market.
Isn't one of the biggest things when it comes to maybe infrastructure and also with healthcare?
It is. I mean, and if we don't have that free market growing like we do, and, you know, as a state in totality, but let's be real. Like, we know that there's communities that are have and have nots. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I know people don't like to say that out loud, but I mean, that's the reality. There's counties northeast of you that, you know, I'll pick on Elbert County. It's probably one of the most,
changing
from an income perspective. Yeah, it's just totally different. And so while they're losing population and having a hard time with jobs and having a hard time maybe with their hospital facility and other things, that's because of the overall economics of our state. The global, you know, companies from China and Europe that are buying a lot of these companies and moving the jobs to other places. Like, that's a real phenomenon. Or, you know, as farmers are selling out, you know, their properties are being backfilled with, you know, foreign investment that we mm-hmm. can't control, or trying to buy land. And I was a sponsor of that bill last year. So I think we got to, you know, and this is not a knock against the governor, but we got to think about what is going to be the next iteration of our economy. What's the next iteration of our, you know, our education system. You know, I you know, cite Ronald Reagan. I was also, you know, a kid of the Zell Miller years. And I know he was a Democrat, but he basically, for all intents and purposes, was a Republican, especially when he left politics. And I think some people forget that, you know, bold ideas and bold things during this day and time is what people are yearning for. This is what people, when they go to church, you know, every Sunday, you know, yeah, they ask for small things in their life. But one of the things that, you know, my mentors and my men's Bible study group always told me, you know, is be bold and ask God for big things. And I think that, you know, we give the glory to Him because He controls everything. But I don't think if we don't take that same mindset into how we serve the public as a husband, as a brother, as a dad, like, We're not gonna win as one community and as one family, and I think we got to keep that in mind as we move forward in the days, the months, and years to come.
Talking with Emory Dunne for as an example, I told you earlier, one of the key things that he's willing to do in his last year as a state representative is maybe tweaking the heartbeat bill, and I know you're familiar with what he's trying to do. Mm-hmm. But where are we right there with that here in the state of Georgia, and how we can really influencing the entire country.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we have to protect our value system. And everybody's probably got a different value system, or everybody's got a different motivation in life. You know, I lost my brother when I was 22 because of a drunk driver. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom passed away of breast cancer in 2011, and then my dad died because of heart problems 8 months before my brother, right before 9/11. Mm-hmm. And literally, I mean, I lived through life. I mean, I buried my entire family. They're all at Arlington Cemetery in Virginia.
Wow.
And when you go down that road, you get two choices. You go down the dark path, or you go down the path of light to figure out, like, how do you get out of this situation? And I think, you know, with my mom and dad, you know, even the short time I have with my brother for 22 years, is, you know, you only get to live this life one time. God gave it to you. And if you don't wake up every single day, you know, motivated to do something positive, and whether it's to, you know, tweak the heartbeat bill or do things that we know, you know, give glory to Him, but also protect our families and our, even when it's the most unpopular thing. And I've done a lot of unpopular, you know, votes and decisions, but I think that's what's best for our state and what's best for America. It's not, you know, kind of into the world of, you know, the world telling us what to do. And I think that's the difference between the politicians that truly, you know, they've been down there for 20 years, 10 years, acting like they're doing something, and then once, and maybe have only been there a short time, or even the ones that have been there a long time, they're actually, you know, plowing the ground and getting stuff done. And I hope your listeners, you know, when they think about that and they hear it, whether it's Drew Eccles or Emery or anyone, you know, they challenge them to think big and be bold, and lay it all on the line. And like my dad did in, you know, Vietnam, like he went and served over there, was shot out by, you know, Vietnamese troops, putting, you know, got shot, put his life on the line. And I think even in public service, like, we got to be willing to die for sometimes the things that we believe in. And I think that's where we're at in this world, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'll try to have Drew Eccles on with us here soon, especially with the General Assembly session starting in January, to talk more about local issues here on 97.5 Glory FM. Do you think with the election year, and I know that nobody can raise money during the session, that you might see more urgency to get the session done as quickly as possible, not maybe have as many off days and have that 40 days to get by as quickly as possible?
Yeah, I mean, less trouble happens when we're done sooner than later. you know, less games. You know, one of the things that I've told Georgians is, you know, we ought to go work on Saturdays. Your viewers, or listeners, I'm sorry, many of them work on Saturdays, right?
Sure.
Get a paycheck and pay for groceries and everything else. The General Assembly should go work on Saturdays. I mean, I really believe that is something we need to talk about. I mean, Congress ain't even working, and these folks get paid $200,000 a year, and, you know, their little stipends and everything else. And, you know, you got hardworking Georgians paying for it. That's the difference between us and D.C. And so, you know, as I work with the leader in the House to set the calendar, I do hope it's a relatively short session. But I do challenge our leaders in the state, as we have this conversation, to work on Saturdays. I think we owe it to the citizens to do more than we're doing, and they need to see us leading in that fashion.
That's an interesting point from that standpoint. So, final thing for you this morning. We, you know, of course, have to have a balanced budget, but we have this big surplus. Well, what do you do with the surplus, in your opinion?
I don't know. We're going to see. I know I serve on appropriations and work with Chairman Tillery and our other leaders, Senator Walker and others. You know, that's going to be a huge debate. I know we're waiting to see what, you know, the governor's going to say about it, but, you know, let's not, you know, be, you know, just to be transparent, let's not be, you know, I know your listeners are not fools, that, you know, the economy is tough. You know, revenue is probably slowing down, and there's going to be some challenges ahead. And I think how we prioritize these challenges is going to be critical. I said on my social media accounts, and I told a group yesterday, that for one example, we shouldn't be subsidizing data centers in Georgia. There are going to be some decisions we need to make I think, to make sure that the citizens of Georgia know we have had their back and will continue to have their back. You know, what that looks like, we will know, I think, the weeks to come. And I'm more than willing to come back and talk about that when we get that kind of put together. But I think the bottom line, you know, like James Carville said back in the day when he elected Bill Miller, I mean, it's all about the economy, or President Clinton. I mean, it's all about the economy. I always hate quoting Democrats, but that guy was, you know, he was right on that. I mean, I don't think any of us could argue with that.
I think he said that's the economy stupid from that standpoint. I think it was really close from that standpoint. I'd love for you to talk with our Hall County Commission Chairman, because you mentioned one thing is a hot topic here right now. There's a proposed data center here in Hall County. And it's like, how much of the resources are they going to eat up? And they're going to be looking at one of the data centers in Metro Atlanta to see really how it affects the community. And that can really affect the community here and what the state can do when it comes to maybe usually subsidizing these things and how it will affect the community. It shows you again what you do from the state senators they represent is how it affects us here on the local scene. Does everybody know about your social media and how we get in touch with you?
Yeah, if you just go on Facebook, just type in Jason Anavitarde, you'll see our Senate page, at Jason Anavitarde on X, and then just jasonanavitarde.com, on the internet. And I'll just say, you know, kind of include, you started the data centers with the commission. I mean, our commissioners, they're having, you know, I think some of these conversations, as I caution all local governments, like, to make sure that, just like the Secretary of Energy, when we were in the White House, a few of us, you know, Bo Hatchett, Senator Hatchett from all y'all's neck of the woods, he was with me. The Secretary of Energy said that these data centers can contribute on their own to growing the energy capacity in the state. There shouldn't be government subsidies to have to do that. Also, too, as contracts and things are created at the local level, the data centers, like, they need us. I mean, in some cases, maybe more than we need them. I don't know. You know, somebody can prove me wrong on that, maybe on a balance sheet or, you know, community-wise. But I think, you know, if they want to come, just like a lot of other economic projects, you know, there's a lot of things that they can pay for up front that the citizen does not have to pay. If you're going to accept them into your community, you know, there's got to be this negotiation. But it's got to be a community-first negotiation-minded. And if it doesn't check the boxes of what your citizens want, especially something that is so regional, from a regional significance perspective, just because it writes a big check doesn't always make it the best thing in the long term for somebody's community. Yeah, it could, you know, a lot of these data centers, they're wiping away taxes. You know, it's like I joke with our commissioners, but sometimes serious. If you're going to bring one, are you going to wipe away every Paulding County resident's taxes for X number of years? I mean, that's the significance of, I think, kind of the pros and cons of this. But I think a transparent, honest process with the community has to be done if you want the citizens to buy in as elected officials what you're doing. And if you try to hide stuff from them or be cute about it, I think the citizens have every right to be upset, because they should be involved in the process as much as they can. I know sometimes that's difficult, but, you know, they need to be, politicians need to be honest about, you know, the intentions.
Amen. One of the big things is knowing your politicians and our state senators locally is Drew Eccles. I'm going to try to have him again on and to talk more about what's going on. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you wanting to talk to our listeners. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Yeah, God bless y'all. Holler if you need anything, and take care.
Thank you very much. That is Jason Anavitarde, who is the majority leader in the state Senate, looking ahead to the Georgia General Assembly. We've got much more for you here on 97.5 Glory FM, your family radio station in North Georgia.